Good evening.
Good evening.
What a beautiful time of worship. I am very happy to be here, and I am very happy that you were able to make it. The title of my message is God So Loved the World. Our key verse is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Perfect. Welcome. This is our 2014 Easter conference. And really thank God for granting us this beautiful place where we can meet and gather together and talk about these two most important events in human history, which are, what are the two most important events in human history?
Creation.
Good guess.
Jesus' death.
The first most important is, Pastor Crystal just said, Jesus' birth in a manger. And the second, which we're celebrating today, the two most important events in human history that we're celebrating tonight, is the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Together, these two events spelled out the gospel. This gospel, which is not only a beautiful story, but it's also a great power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. But before we can appreciate or understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's one thing that we need to understand. Does anyone knows what? We have to understand the love of God, yes. Well, what then is the love of God? I pray that God may open our hearts tonight and during this Easter conference to understand the love of God for you and me. So let us be together, John 3:16. You don't have to repeat after me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. This verse is one of the most known verses from the Bible. Today I would like to talk about what makes this verse so extraordinary. God gave this verse to Nicodemus when he was a rich religious leader and he was trying to find out how could he be born again. And Jesus gave him this verse. This verse really unfolds a new life in Jesus. So let's take a look at it. First, God so loved the world. First off, we need to think about who God is. Who is this God that so loved the world? This is the Almighty Creator, who in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. He created you and he created me. He's almighty, he's everlasting, he's holy, and the list can go on. But most of all, he's loving. The Bible tells us that God is love. And how did he express his love for us from the beginning? Just the fact that he created us is his love. When he created us, he gave us his breath of life so we could have a relationship with him and walk with him. He placed us in this beautiful garden and gave us a mission. Adam and Eve had such a joyful and meaningful existence because they were securing the love of God. This is our Almighty God, loving, personal, sovereign. But in the garden, we rebel against God, and sin came into the world and into our hearts. Sin infected the heart of man. And until now, it destroyed our relationship with God. We were then separated from our Maker and had neither communion nor knowledge of him anymore. The truth is that our relationship with God is very broken. In fact, this very verse is telling us that we are perishing. Yes, the world and everything in it is perishing. This world that God so loved it's dying. And by dying, I mean eternal death and under God's judgment. But the problem, it is that we have a hard time believing this, because apparently life seems to be good, we are okay, we have a good job, we have good things, we're young, we're healthy, a career to look forward to, we have a husband or a wife. But even so, you are dying if you don't have Jesus. Really, we seem to be content with this reality, but the reality is that we are condemned to go to hell. Condemned. Someone said it's like being in the Titanic, when everyone, I don't know if you watched the movie, but everybody was enjoying the best food and drinking and partying and enjoying life without realizing that they would hit an iceberg and sink and die. And after that, yes, and after that, you have to face judgment for what you've done in this life. So this is our reality. We are perishing. And there's nothing you can do about it on your own. But the Bible tells us that God so loved the world. Now, what does this mean? This means that God cannot stand to see the world so miserable and wretched. He couldn't stand to see his children destined to live a cross in a godless world and then face judgment, terrible judgment. So in his great love, God gave his son Jesus, his one and only son for the world. The holy almighty creator of heaven and earth loved this world. This world whose population is a group or bunch of rebellion, wicked people. The truth is that God does not need to love us. We really are not entitled to his love. We don't deserve his love because we have rebelled against him. Truly, God had all the right to leave us as we were, and that is what we deserve. But his love compelled him otherwise. God was determined to give us a way out of salvation, a way for salvation. So, part two, God gave his one and only son. How did God show us his love? How did God show us his love according to this verse? I just read it actually. Hint, hint. He gave his one and only son. We need to understand that this is a gift. God gave the very verb, gave, it means that you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. You know, it's not because of something good in me or in you. We always like to think that there's something good left in us that makes us worthy of God's love. But no. There's nothing that made us worthy. We did not earn his love. We have not worked for this love. It was a gift. God gave his one and only son. Think about it for a minute. Think about how difficult it must have been for God to be willing to sacrifice his most beloved possession. I always say, it's not like God had five children and said, okay, let's spare this one for the sake of the baby. Yes, son, Jesus. No, Jesus was God one and only son. But my question is, why was it necessary for God to sacrifice his son, Jesus? He seems so cruel and unloving to do this. I'm not a parent, but I'm a child. And in my experience, many parents would rather sacrifice themselves than to give their child away. However, as noble as this may sound, if God had sacrificed himself instead of Jesus, it would have been the easier path to solve the same problem. And definitely a more bearable one. However, God loves us so much that he changed the life of his son, Jesus, for ours, to save us from our sins. And his deep love for us, God chose the hardest and most difficult path that a parent could ever go through. God decided to pay the price to save us from condemnation, the sin brought upon us, with the life of his one and only son. Jesus' life was given for the world, so that our sins may be forgiven. All of this for you and for me. When Jesus hung on that cross, it was not for his sins that he was being punished, but for all the crimes that all men had committed against God and against one another. Our precious Jesus did nothing to deserve this. However, the Bible tells us that he was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Even during his trial, he remained silent, even though he knew that Pilate had the power to grant him freedom. And after the excruciating pain of suffering and pain for the sins of the world, with his very own life, his love went even farther than just accomplishing this mission. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Now the obvious question is, why? And who could do this for you and me? Who can really love a person like us? But God, the Almighty Creator God. When we think about ourselves, we're not really that lovable. But who can really love us that much and put up with me and you? But our Heavenly Father. This verse tells us that God so loved the world, meaning you and me, and every person in this world. Now whether you're white, excuse me, you're white or you're black, you're Chinese or Korean, or you're tall or short, you're smart or not so. Everyone, God loved the world, means everyone. And God gave his one and only Son, Jesus, for the forgiveness of the sin of the world. This is God's love for us. This is how much God loves us. When we see Jesus on the cross and Jesus risen, this is indeed the greatest evidence of God's love for you and for me. Third, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. If God loves us this much and in this manner, how should we respond to such love? John 3:16 says, "For God so," actually you can tell me, what does John 3:16 say?
"For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life."
Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God wants you and me to believe in his one and only Son, Jesus. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's incredible. Although we are all sinners, deserving of nothing but eternal condemnation, God promises something unimaginable to those who accept his one-sided love through Jesus Christ, eternal life. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Believing in Jesus is more than saying a prayer, "Jesus, I accept your forgiveness," and then I go about my life like if nothing has changed. Believing in Jesus means acknowledging that I am an undeserving sinner, that I cannot pay for my sins, nor amend, nor make amends. But all I can do and I should do is first believe in the person of Jesus as the Son of God, Messiah. And second, believing all that God has accomplished in and through Jesus. Believing in Jesus is an ongoing lifestyle. It's not a one-time thing. It is following his teachings every day. It's struggling to live by faith day by day. We need to examine our hearts this weekend. What kind of faith do we have in Jesus? ask yourself, do you really believe in Jesus as the absolute way, truth, and life? Do you absolutely believe that He is the resurrection and the life, as He claimed? Do you believe that Jesus is the best expression of God's love for you? If so, are you willing to obey His teachings, even when they run against the grain of the world, even when it means denying your sinful nature, because He is your Lord and your Savior? Jesus sacrificed Himself so that we may have eternal life. Eternal life that in truth is our relationship with God the Father and the Son forever, for eternity. And not just everlasting life, but abundant life. I will grow in the knowledge of God. John 17:3 reads, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is truly what our souls were meant to have from the very beginning. God wants to restore us to faith in His Son Jesus so that we can have eternal life, a relationship with Him, and a quality of a fruitful, abundant, and spiritual life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We are blessed to be here and to celebrate Easter, which to us means remembering Jesus' death and resurrection and Him who gave His life for us. But Easter is also about remembering what Jesus had done for you and to participate in it every day. Easter for us should be a time of great commitment, to live a life for Him and for His glory. Let me fold my paper. I want to invite you to deeply meditate on the love of God for you. Take this time to meditate really the love that God has for you. Throughout your life, God has been always, always there. And He has loved us. And I like to finish this by slowly saying this givers at John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Amen. Praise our precious Heavenly Father. We thank You so much that You are the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Thank You, Father, that You are our Lord, our God, our Maker. We thank You, Father, for loving us so much. And Lord, for creating a beautiful plan of salvation through Your one and only Son, Jesus. Father, help us that this Easter we may not just remember what He has done for us, but that we may recommit our lives to Him, that we may, Father, once again have faith and believe, Lord, all the things that He has accomplished through His death and resurrection. Thank You for bringing us here. Thank You, Father, for the privilege that it is to study Your Word and to hear, Father, Your truth and Your love for us, now Your children. Thank You, Lord. All we can do is say thank You. And Father, I pray that as this conference continues, You may, Lord, move our hearts, that we may once again have a heart that, Lord, beats for You alone. Thank You for this time and for those who were able to make it. Bless the rest of this program tonight and tomorrow and Sunday, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.